Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. A little bit later on, we will be joined by Dave Grinning from the Daily Racing Forum, the New York correspondent for the Racing Forum. We'll take a little bit of a look at Aqueduct and their action today. Is again, kind of the last really big day down at Aqueduct down in New York for a while. I mean, they'll be fun over the winter, and there'll be stakes action over the winter, but grade one action today with the Cigar Mile and some nice undercard stakes as well. So again, we'll talk a little bit about Aqueduct later on. But nice weekend. I handicapped just earlier the Tampa card, which is two-year-olds wall-to-wall, including some nice two-year-old stakes. That's going to be fun down there. And out at Del Mar, nice stakes action out at Del Mar this weekend as they kind of wrap up their fall meet. Do want to alert you, a couple of nice stakes today. Pulled up a replay going back to the Better Talk Now up at Saratoga back on August 28th. The winner is going to be number four, Wit in here. And Wit is kind of the lukewarm morning line favorite at 7-2 for Todd Pletcher, Flavian Pratt, Mike Rapoli and company. As you can see, nice win here in the Better Talk Now. Anthony Marmito mentioned it on the Handicapper Report earlier. We had Mike Rapoli in with us on Racing Across America before Witt tried the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame was right before the win you just saw there, and he ran second in his turf debut. But Mike said, this horse worked well on the turf. He's going to be very interesting to watch. So subsequent to that interview, ran second in the Hall of Fame. Then the win you saw there in the Better Talk Now. And after that, went down and tried the Bryan Station at Keeneland and was a near-miss second in that one. Now goes out to try the Hollywood Derby this afternoon, or this evening, actually. It'll go off our time at about 7:30. Fun little field. Cabo Spirit coming in off a win in the Twilight Derby is going to be interesting. Script going out for Graham Motion. Won an allowance at Keeneland two starts back. Then a little stakes race at Del Mar last time was a close-up second. So Script could be interesting in there. A field of 11 is scheduled to go in the Hollywood Derby, and nice field of 11. A little bit earlier on the card out there this afternoon, the Jimmy Durante, these are two-year-old fillies going a mile on the turf, field of 12 scheduled there. And I'm just looking, the morning line favorite is, yeah, Liguria going out for Chad Brown. Couple of starts so far, a second at Monmouth, and then a win at the Belmont at Aqueduct meet for Chad Brown and company. That one will go off as the favorite. But the 11 posts going the mile, you know, going to have to work out a nice little trip there. We'll see how that all goes. Graham Motion has Pilata Sisters coming in off a couple of tries at Saratoga to start the career, and then a maiden breaker at Delaware last time. Just looking down at any other East Coast trainers. No, most of them are based on the West Coast other than the Graham Motion and the Chad Runner. So Jimmy Durante and Hollywood Derby today, tomorrow, the Cecil B. DeMille for the two-year-olds on the turf. Today it's the two-year-old fillies. Tomorrow it's the two-year-old males on the turf. Cecil B. DeMille tomorrow. No shock. The favorite in there, Speedboat Beach, who I liked in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint off the big win in the Turf Sprint Stake at Santa Anita prior. Speedboat Beach, however, disappointed in that Breeders' Cup race. And going to be interesting to see, excuse me, working well for this, but going to stretch out. So 5-2 on the morning line is the favorite for Flavian Pratt and Bob Baffert. But again, on the stretch out, will that be the direction to go? Will the horse rebound off of the Breeders' Cup effort or not? Interesting addition of the Cecil B. DeMille. And a little bit later on, it is the Matriarch. And again, this is tomorrow. Matriarch Grade 1 event, $400,000. And here's another one where we do have some East Coast trainers. Dolce Zell for Chad Brown in the field of 10. Wakanaka for Bill Mott coming in off a stakes win at Keeneland most recently. Pizza Bianca, Christophe Clement and Bobby Flay. Going to be an interesting entrant in there. But the favorite, Regal Glory, who disappointed a little bit in the Breeders' Cup mile against the boys last time, but could be very, very tough tomorrow in the Matriarch at Del Mar. So again, nice stakes weekend on the turf out in Southern California at Del Mar. Keep that in mind for today and early evening. Otherwise, we will take a break and we'll come back to the East Coast and talk a little Aqueduct action, highlighted again by the Cigar Mile. Nice undercard of stakes, and we'll cover all of that coming up right after this with our friend Dave Grenick from the Daily Racing Forum. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, a big day down in New York, Cigar Mile and beyond. And so who better to talk to than Dave Grenick from the Daily Racing Forum. Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's your weather look like today down in New York?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's raining pretty good. I'm actually at Belmont right now, but I'm only 8.5 miles away. I don't think it's much different there at Aqueduct. So I would be handicapping for an off track, which also could play a big role in who runs and who doesn't. You know, Mind Control is probably the favorite or second choice in the Cigar Mile. And the one thing Todd Fletcher told me that his owners told him when they got the horse is this horse doesn't like a wet track. So I think they have a decision to make here today, whether they actually start or roll the dice. And if this is indeed his last start, do you roll the dice and say, well, maybe we'll give it a shot, or do you just say, you know what, we had a nice career, let's pull the plug?
Yeah, interesting. I hadn't thought of the last start aspect, but yeah, that would certainly, you would think, play into it. You mentioned being over at Belmont. Give us a little update. What's the situation look like with the tunnel?
Looks like the tunnel's done. They're now sort of in the process of putting Humpty Dumpty back together again in terms of the turf course that they, the parts of the turf course and dirt course that they had had a usurp to get to make the tunnel. And I think the plan is to have that done, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. And so that they can, not that you can grow grass in this time of year, but at least get it patched up and get it ready to, have things ready to go when they start, manicuring the track and everything for next April and May.
I'll ask you, because I was surprised on social media when Naira came out with the calendar for next year, and they were going to be at Aqueduct again in the fall, Belmont at Aqueduct. It seemed like on social media people were kind of surprised, but that's been the game plan for a while, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't come out and officially say it last year when they first made the pronouncement that the 2022 Belmont meet would be held at Aqueduct, but they pretty much said it likely next year too, and with all the things that they want to do, which the next step of the process is once we leave here after the spring meet, they want to redo all the tracks. They want to, you know, put new base, new cushion, new drainage on the turf course and the main track, which would make it a project that would preclude them from running at Belmont in the fall of 23. So, you know, and then if you take it a step further, yeah, I believe the object is by the time we get to the 24, we can, they'll have the financing piece in place to, you know, blow up this building and build a new one. So I would think that we're, I think this is a 23 and 24, and I wouldn't be shocked, 25 project that, you know, the Belmont will be seeing a lot of aqueducts. Let's put, before we don't see aqueduct anymore, we'll be seeing a lot of aqueducts.
And how's that work out for you? Are you closer to one or you have to be closer to one or the other? So how's it work out for you that, you know, being an aqueduct?
Doesn't, the Bell Parkway doesn't work out for anybody, Seth. So being on the Bell Parkway, you know, I'm closer to Belmont, so, and it's also usually one stop shop. I have to come to Belmont every day anyway because this is where the horses and the horsemen are.
All right.
There are no, there's no training and no horses stable at Aqueduct. So I always come to Belmont first, and then I go over to Aqueduct after. That part of the trip isn't usually too terrible because it's after the rush hour and stuff. But coming home, you know, it's like Forrest Gump said, it's a box of the Bell Parkway is a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
I can kind of relate going up the Northway at the end of the day, but from being down there a few times, it's kind of the Northway times three. So yeah, I feel for you. All right, let's get into some of the stakes action, and we'll work back from the Cigar Mile. Field of Seven was scheduled, but Obesos with the situation down at Churchill out already, and you mentioned Mind Control. I pulled up a replay. We'll still take a look. I pulled up a replay of the Salvatore Mile because I was kind of hanging my hat on that. But as you say, Mind Control with the wet track situation, we shall see how that all works out. Once you get past him, I didn't know what to do with Zandon. Stepping in against Older for the first time. Same thing with White Abario in there. I thought Get Her Number could be a little bit interesting coming in from the West Coast. What are your thoughts on the Cigar Mile?
Yeah, I'm looking at, even if Mind Control was in the race, and he still might be in the race, if, you know, all things being equal, if the track was fast, but I would obviously have a ton of respect for Mind Control. I do think he's one of the more underappreciated horses that we've seen over the last several years, considering what he's accomplished. But I was quite interested in Zandon. I've always been a fan of this horse. He sort of was my Derby horse all along, even after he left here when he got beat a nose in the Remsen last year. I think the one-turn mile will be a fit for him. It's sort of, Chad Brown is sort of doing what he did with Connect 6 years ago. Connect had won the Pennsylvania Derby, and then he cut him back to the one-turn mile and the Cigar Mile, and he got the job done there. And I think Zandon should be able to do the same thing. Hopefully he lays a little closer than, say, he did in some of his other starts, say the Jim Nandy when he was probably too close. And then comes running, and you know, he's not a mile and a quarter horse. His best distance is probably a mile and an eighth, but I don't see any reason why he shouldn't handle the mile. And he did win on a track that had moisture in it when he won his grade one in the Bluegrass. That track did have moisture in it, so it wasn't sloppy, but I think he'll handle it just fine. And talking to people in the barn, they're saying this horse is ready and needs to run now, so it's a good thing that the race isn't a week later because he might be over the top by then.
And you mentioned having to go over to Belmont. I hadn't thought about that, but all the horses, of course, you have to go over to Belmont every day. But as I'm looking down under Zandon and under Mind Control, the workouts are on the training track. Did I read right, early on at least, weren't horses still working out in some fashion, working around the work that was being done? Is that correct? Or has everything been on the training track over at Belmont?
No. They opened the main track for 2.5 hours a day, 6 to 8:30. And actually, they're still doing it. Typically, the main track closes right around this weekend, but they haven't officially said when it's going to close. They like trying to separate, you know, trying to take some traffic off the training track. But you have trainers here. I think because of the way some trainers like to operate and like to back their horses up a long way, that was the one thing you really couldn't do on the main track with the construction going on. You could probably back them up to maybe the 5.5, and then you'd have to turn around and jump right into your work. So there were only a handful of trainers that used it for workouts. So most of these guys, Todd Pletcher always uses the training track. Chad Brown, given his preference, would use the main track, but I think just the way he likes to train, back these horses up before they breathe, he was training everything on the training track.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, let's move a little bit earlier, the Gopher Juan. I think it's a kind of an intriguing field where I could have pointed to a few different horses and probably had the similar level of confidence, but I pulled up the Pumpkin Pie going back to October 29th. Boston Post Road is going to be the number two here. The number four will be Dr. B. Butch Reed comes into town with Dr. B. Irod Ortiz, who is chasing that stakes record, is going to jump on board. I thought Dr. B was a little bit intriguing, but Bank Sting, the New York bred, I think, is a player. Battle Bling is interesting for Rob Attriss. Betsy Blue, another New York bred. What did you think in the Gopher Juan?
Well, first of all, I'm anticipating, I could be wrong here, and I don't have scratches yet, but I think Betsy Blue might wait for next week's Garland of Roses. I think Linda Rice was looking at trying to find a spot where she might be in a really good spot to get open black type. And I know this is graded, which is, makes that more attractive than the Garland of Roses per se, but this is a bigger field, maybe a bulkier field than she was looking at. So I wouldn't be surprised if Betsy Blue came out. I was expecting Bank Sting to actually come out and run in one of the Stallion Stakes races tomorrow, you know, just to stay with her own kind, so to speak. But I guess they are looking for graded black type. She just missed out in the Ruffian when she was fourth back in May. And she, while that was a muddy track and she didn't run very well that day, I thought that company was just really a lot tougher. I mean, Search Results, Royal Flag, Lady Rocket, that Ruffian was a really solid renewal this year. You take that race out, she's first or second most of the time. You know, and she's in run. She's run well at Aqueduct, 6 of 8, 4 of 7 on a wet track. She likes the mile. Thought she ran pretty well in the banks in the Iroquois Stakes. Rosario, you have from an outside draw. I think I'm leaning toward Banks thing. I'm a fan of Battle Bling. I just don't think this race sets up to very well for her today. She sort of had more success being forwardly placed, and I just think she's going to find a field here with a lot of speed. And I don't know that that's going to play well for her. So I'm looking at Banks thing from off the pace.
And I mentioned Irod on Dr. B chasing that stakes. Went out to Mahoning and picked up a couple stakes out there on their big day. But he's got, you know, days are dwindling, but it's going to be fun to watch Irod over the last few weeks of the year to see him how it works out on that stakes record.
I'd be stunned if he doesn't get it. In fact, I was kind of stunned he didn't get it over the Thanksgiving week, which I had taken off this year. He went 0 for 10 in stakes races at Aqueduct during the Thanksgiving weekend. So I don't anticipate him going 0 for, but I believe this is his last day in New York. I think he rides at Del Mar tomorrow, and then I think he goes to Florida after that. So his if I'm going to see it in person, it's going to be today. If he doesn't win anything today, I'll have to watch it on the cathode ray tube.
Seventh race this afternoon is the Remsen Grade 2 event, $250,000 for the two-year-olds. I pulled up the replay from the Rocky Run down at Delaware. It's going to be number 6, Tuskegee Airmen, getting it done. The New York bred Arctic Arrogance, I think, is very interesting. Midnight Trouble coming in for Peter Walder, I also thought was intriguing. Horacio De Paz has Quick to Accuse. I could make a case there. But Tuskegee Airmen, 2 for 2 so far, looking pretty good for John Service. And Luis Saez, speaking about hot jockeys, Luis Saez gets the mount. What are your thoughts on the Remsen?
Yeah, this was a hard horse to figure. I thought he was quite impressive in his debut, which was on Pennsylvania Derby Day, where he was in a field of 14, and he won by 5.5 lengths, and 5 horses, including Tuskegee Airmen, came back out of that race to win. And I don't know what to make of his Rocky Run. If you're showing the replay, I'm not sure what point of the race you're at, but if you're in the middle of the turn, it looks like he's going to get nothing. In fact, even the track announcer says Tuskegee Airmen's in deep water, and all of a sudden, you know, he turned the corner and put his mind on running again. And you know, that was that field. This is a little bit different. It's not a great Remsen running, but I think, you know, he can't make that mistake and win again, I don't think. So hopefully this is a horse that's going to get better with racing and get his mind on his business, because I don't know that he can make that mistake again and win like he did in the Rocky Run. One of the horses you didn't mention that I'm a bit intrigued about is the outside W&L, or W&L, I'm not sure how they pronounce it exactly, but he ran fourth in one of those. There was 3 maiden races on September 3rd at Saratoga. He ran fourth in one of them. But if you look at the horse who beat him, Instant Coffee, this horse came back and won the Kentucky Jockey Club last week at Churchill Downs. Then WNL comes back in an off-the-turf race, run on a sloppy track, which we should have today, and wins. The number came back light. I think the number's small. I think the number's bigger than it should than was actually given him. And I think he'll like, being by good magic, I think he'll like stretching out around two turns. Starts on the outside, so hopefully Jose Ortiz can keep him clear and not get mud kicked back at him. I like this horse to maybe pull a bit of a minor upset here. Again, I don't know how they're going to bet the race.
Yeah, I had some check marks next to that one, and if the odds are right, I do not disagree. That one's worth a look. Let's go to race number six. I'm really intrigued to hear your thoughts because we just had the handicappers report earlier, and we discussed this race quite a bit. The Demoiselle, grade two, $250,000, mile and an eighth. And I'm going to show the entire race because I want people to see that maiden special debut effort from Julius Shining. Sibling to Malathat. Gets off poorly, way in the back of the pack, makes the big sweeping move. Again, she's going to be the number four horse here. You can watch that chicklet and watch her make the big move. Right after the race, I said visually impressive, but let's see what the number is because you make a performance like that. Who is she beating? And that said, the horse that ran second came back to break the maiden in the next out. I looked at the race, given the buyer figure of 71, I wanted to go against Julia Shining, but then I looked at the rest of the field this afternoon, and I couldn't quite do it. I think Affirmative Lady is maybe interesting for Graham Motion stretching out, though. But what are your thoughts in the Demoiselle and Julia Shining?
Well, you had to be impressed with the manner in which she won the race, because you usually don't come from last, especially first-time starter, two-year-old, in a seven-furlong race at Keeneland, to win like that. She was that far back in part because she resented the kickback that was being thrown at her. Then Saez had to sort of put her a little bit wide, and then when she did make that long, sustained run, you know, it kind of looked to me like a horse that wants every bit of the two turns, yeah. And I think that's, you know, the fact that she's Malathat's full sister, by Curlin, et cetera, you know, she's going to relish the two turns. I think the key to this race is for her to, you know, get hopefully break a little better and again, be kept in the clear, because I don't think that, you know, if she didn't like fast dirt being kicked back at her, she's probably not going to like sloppy and kicked back at her. So that's Saez's major goal today, is to keep her in the clear. The horse that I think she has to run down and who I think could pull the upset unless Julie Shining just is the second coming of Malathat, it's Foggy Night on the rail for Butch Reed. You got to like the fact that she's already been two turns, which she got the maiden win going a mile and 70 yards by many, 11-plus, at Parks. And then she came back and ran a very solid second in the attempted to Chad Brown's filly, Good Sam, who's 2-for-2, who went to the sidelines, needed some ankle chips cleaned up. And I thought she fought on pretty well. But I do think, and my discussion with Butch Reed sort of indicated that as well. She wants to go longer. She wants the two turns. She doesn't really want to be rushed off her feet like she had to be and attempted from that spot. And I think she'll just break and go and go at her own pace. And I didn't see a ton of other speed in here because I'm not sure Tribal Queen runs. And my discussions with Tony Dutrow earlier in the week was, well, maybe I'll take a shot if I think I can get, you know, a graded stakes placing. And I think that translates to if it's a five-horse field. If it stays as a seven-horse field, I'm not so sure he runs her. So if Tribal Queen comes out, I don't know if there's any other speed to run with Foggy Night. And, you know, then it's up to Julie Shining, if she's that talented, to run her down. Fletcher has won this race seven times, including the last 2 years with horses with champions like Nest and Malathat. The one difference between those two and this one is they had a race in between their maiden win. They ran in the attempted and won. This filly only has the one race under her belt. So I could see people trying to take a shot against her. I don't have any other than Foggy Night, I wouldn't have any firm plans to say who that would be. But I'm kind of curious to watch her run today, too, because hopefully she's as special as her sister.
Yeah, I said, to me, she's the most intriguing horse on the program today to see if she can validate what we saw in that career debut. Before I let you go, I see you wrote a piece about Pizza Bianca working for a start in the Matriarch. That's tomorrow out at Del Mar. She was entered in the Matriarch, as is Dolce Zelle, Regal Glory, some horses working in New York, Wakanaka for Bill Mott. That one comes in from Churchill most recently, but there are some familiar trainers out there. Any thoughts, you know, Regal Glory, Dolce Zelle, Pizza Bianca in tomorrow's Matriarch out of Del Mar?
Well, I'm curious to see what Dolce Zelle does. That's the horse that got scratched by the vets prior to a stake at Keeneland the week before the Breeders' Cup. It'll be interesting to see if the California vets, A, let her run, and B, how she does run. I've always been a big fan of Regal Glory. I'm assuming this is her swan song. I would love to see her go out a winner. I believe she was part of the Paul Pompa dispersal a few years ago.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed my time, you know, dealings with Paul, who unfortunately passed a few years ago. And, you know, look, you could say if Regal Glory wins, she could make a, you know, get back, jump in the Eclipse Award case, too. So that's a kind of a wide-open division there. I know, you know, there's Warlike Goddess and In Italian and others, but Regal Glory's had a terrific year and terrific career. We'll see what she does tomorrow. But I've always been a fan of her, and I kind of would be pulling for her. I need to look at the race a little more closely on how I would want to bet it, but if I'm just looking at it as a fan, I'd like to see Regal Glory get the job done.
And do you remember, I mentioned earlier, I talked a little bit about this race at the top of the show, Pizza Bianca was a reserve not attained. Wasn't it like $3 million? Bobby Flay said no.
Yeah, I think it was. I think the last bid was 3.4. I'm not sure what he thought she was worth. I know she won the Breeders' Cup, but she hasn't really been that fast. I don't know how attractive a broodmare prospect she'd be. I just don't know. I really say that with all true, feelings here. I just don't know what she would bring from a broodmare perspective. And I never really, you know, I don't know that she ever got any better. I thought she had it was one of the greatest rides of Jose Ortiz's career when she won that Breeders' Cup race. And then this year has been just so-so. I know she won a race at Pimlico, Preakness time. And then she went to England. And then when she came back from England, she was kind of dull in that race here in New York. So I'm not sure. I don't think I'd be backing her, but, good luck to them. I know they want to try and see what she does. And, look, if she's going to come back next year, we need all the good horses we can get.
Yeah.
So hopefully she runs well.
No, she's been fun and fun to follow, and kind of a fun story with Bobby Flay. But when I saw that they turned down the 3-point, God bless them. They're living in a different world from me, but that goes without saying. Dave, we really appreciate the visit, and have some fun this afternoon at Aqueduct with, last grade one for a while, but a really great racing day. And there's still some nice racing, obviously, throughout the winter down there with nice stakes action as well. But we appreciate the thoughts for this afternoon, and we'll talk again.
Thanks, Seth, and happy holidays to you and your viewers.
Appreciate it. Dave Grenig from the Daily Racing Form. Catch his work in the hard copy or at drf.com. And again, you'll have all the coverage pre and following the racing today down at Aqueduct with a nice big card highlighted by the Cigar Mile. All right, they're underway in New York, and that's why the game plan today was another abbreviated edition of Racing Across America, so we can get you the pregame show down in New York. So I will wrap things up, and I'll be back with the 11:50 post time at Aqueduct. We'll be back in about an hour or so with OTB Live for Saturday afternoon. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that two-year-old card down in Tampa, in addition to the Cigar Mile. Again, Julia Shining, I really want to see what she does this afternoon. Should be fun. So plan to check in again in about an hour or so as we'll kick off OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. Seth Merrow in the studio, Racing Across America for a Saturday morning. Appreciate your tuning in. We'll see you a little bit later for OTB Live.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.